All right, people, welcome. It is 10:30, so we're going to get started with our breakout in this session. We're talking about making room, making more room in your life for more of God. And so by way of introduction, if we haven't met before, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I get to lead here with our student ministry, and it is a joy and privilege to have every single one of you guys here in this breakout today. Here's a picture of my family, just so you can know the most interesting things about me. That's my wife, Hannah, my son, Winslow, and my daughter, Darcy, and they are a joy and a delight to me. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll be reading through a story there in verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. Let me pray for us as we dive into God's word and into what the Lord has for us today. God, we love you. And we are so grateful for the opportunity to spend time in your word and to consider this idea of more room in our lives for more of God. And thank you for each of these students and leaders and all the students and leaders in the other breakouts as well. I pray, God, that your spirit would move and that we would be sensitive to your spirit's leading in our lives and whatever you're calling and inviting us to take part in, to make room in our lives for more of you. May we do so in humble obedience and surrender to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to read the story, and then I'll retell the story. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. It says this, "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.'" So we see the problem. There's this woman. She's a widow. And she has two sons, and creditors are coming to take her sons to be his indentured servants because she doesn't have enough money to pay back the debts that she owes. We go on, verse 2. "And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in your house?' And she said, 'Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few.'" You tracking? So she asks Elijah for help, and he says, "What do you have in your house?" And she's like, "Bro, I got nothing except this tiny little jar of oil." And he says, "Well, go into the neighborhood to your neighbors, your friends, whoever you know, and just ask them, 'How many of you guys have some jars that I can borrow? I don't really know why I'm asking you, but please, can I borrow these empty jars?'" Verse 4, "Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." It's a crazy miracle that happens in this story. And so just so we recap what we just read. There's a widowed woman. She's unable to pay her debts. And as a result, her two sons are going to be taken away from her. She reaches out to Elisha the prophet and asks him for help, guidance, and wisdom. And Elisha asks this woman to respond in faith to God's provision. And so he basically says, "I'm going to ask you to do something that seems crazy and will lead to some awkward conversations." Can you think about that for a second? Walking to the neighbor's houses, walking to whoever, strangers even, and saying, "Hey, can I borrow one of your empty jars? Because this is going to be part of how God is going to provide for me and my family." And so the widow and her two sons demonstrate their faith by going out. They listen to Elijah, right? And they go and they ask for all of these jars from the neighbors and they collect them. And then the family is privately in their house and they begin to pour. Remember, they just had one tiny jar of oil. And they begin to pour the oil into the empty jars that they had gotten. And the oil kept flowing from this tiny jar. And over it happened that every single jar was filled. How could this happen? It was a miracle of God, right? That God somehow miraculously provided this oil to continually flow and fill up all of the other jars. Then the family sold those jars of oil, made enough money to pay off their debts, and enjoyed the rest of their lives with some of the provision that they had. And so here's the first thing that I want us to notice from this story, from this miracle. The miracle of provision was multiplied by this lady's demonstration of faith. That makes sense, right? Remember when she asked for another jar to keep pouring more into another jar? There weren't any more. And so if there were more jars, guess what? The oil would have kept flowing, right? You're tracking. And I think in the same way, that principle, if you will, is true in our spiritual lives. That you and I, we experience more spiritual provision, which is more of God, when we make more room in our lives to experience Him. And so let's imagine she had 100 jars from all of her neighbors. If she had 150, the oil would have kept flowing. If she had 20, the oil would have stopped at 20, right? And so her demonstration of faith to get all of these jars from her neighbors and friends multiplied the miracle of experiencing more provision from God. And I think that that is such a powerful truth and reality for you and I to consider. That we experience more spiritual provision when we make more room in our lives to experience more of God. Did you know that the point of the gospel is so that you and I can experience more of God? Like literally, that's the point. That's why Jesus died. That's why he rose again from the dead, right? So that we can be reconciled to God. He died and rose again from the grave so that you can experience more of God. That's literally the point. Romans 5:10, which you've heard a couple times, says this: "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." That the gospel, the best news in the world, is just the beginning of a life of experiencing more of who God is. And so the question for you to consider is this: am I making room for more of God in my life? Am I putting out the jars, if you will, to allow myself to experience more of who God is every single day? Am I making room for more of God in my life? And so as you reflect on maybe this past semester, or maybe the last fall semester, or maybe the last couple of weeks, how would you answer this question? Did I make room for more of God in my life? And as a reminder, the goal of setting out the jars, if you will, isn't to gain God's approval, isn't to appease him for his anger against you or anything like that. The goal of setting out jars is to enjoy more of God. The goal of setting out jars isn't to please, isn't to appease, or gain forgiveness from God. We have that through the sacrifice of his son. We have nothing more to prove, right? The goal of setting out the jars, if you will, is so that you and I can enjoy God. And so if it's true that the size of our faith in how many jars we put out to experience more of God, then the natural question is, how do I do that? How do I make more room in my life for more of God? And I'm glad you asked that question, because that's the question we're going to answer with the 20 minutes that we have left. How to make more room for more of God in your life. How to make more room for more of God in your life. Okay, you ready? I'm going to share with you how you're going to do that. And don't worry about writing down all of these right now. I'll go through them so they'll come back up on the screen. I know you got some note takers out there, which I love. But we'll go through them talking about desiring to make room, deciding to make room, determining how you will make room, disciplining yourself when it's not easy to make room, and lastly, delighting in the benefits that come from making room. So number one, how to make room in your life for more of God. First, honestly, you just have to want it. You just have to want it. And so the question I started with at the beginning is a question I want to repose to you. Do I actually want more of God in my life? And that's a question only you can answer. Do I actually want to experience more of His love, of His goodness, of His plan for my life? Do I actually want that? Or something else just more appealing? Remember Jonathan's illustration last night with all of the different water bottles and, you know, with sports and academics and relationships and video games and shopping and whatever else it was? Is that actually more appealing to you than wanting more of God Himself? That's a question for you to reflect on, because a verse that came to my mind on this point is Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And Jesus is giving this, Sermon on the Mount to His disciples and to a ton of other people that were listening to the message. And He says this to them and to you: "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." And then what does it say at the end? "For they shall be" what? Okay, so that means that the prerequisite for being satisfied, for experiencing more of God in the first place, is to be what? It's to be hungry, right? Is to be hungry, is to be thirsty for knowing Him, for following Him, for allowing your life to be informed, influenced, and transformed by God and the gospel. And so you gotta want it. Just like anything else in life, you have to want it. And so maybe the prayer for you this morning is this: God, would you help me just grow in my desire to want more of you? Maybe some of you, you're hearing me talk about this and you're like, "You're right, I don't want it. My relationship or my interests that have become idols in my life, things that I've placed above God, are more important to me than cultivating a relationship with Him." Maybe that's just the honest truth. And if that's true of you, that's okay. It's okay if that's your reality, but there is a better way. And I think it starts with going to God and asking Him, inviting Him to help you grow in that desire to make room in your life for more of Him. What if you prayed that prayer every day for the rest of February? What if you set an alarm on your phone, or however you can remind yourself, every morning or every night or whenever is most convenient for you to, you know, have 30 seconds to pray? What if you prayed this prayer: "God, help me have more of you today. Help me desire more of you today." So if you want to make more room in your life for more of God, first, there needs to be a desire to make room. And God wants to give you that desire. He wants to give you that hunger and thirst for Him. Number two, the second thing is to decide to make room. Decide to make room. In other words, I am going to put out the jars. And so in the story of the widowed woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, she was presented with this opportunity: "Go find these jars and bring them to your home, and I will work a miracle." And you know what she could have done? She could have been like, "This makes no sense. This is so dumb. What's the point of me rallying all of these jars when I know that logically I only have one jar of oil? This instruction, this guidance makes no sense." But still, she decided, and in her decision, she demonstrated faith. And in the same way, you and I, when we make that decision, "Hey, I am going to set out jars," we are making a statement about who we are. And you know what? Deciding to make this decision to put out jars might mean less of something else. Remember the disciples? When Jesus was here on earth, before he called his 12 disciples to like go on his missionary journeys with him, Jesus spent a night praying and fasting. And after he prayed and fasted, he went to his disciples. And you've probably heard the stories. He's walking by the seashore, and he sees the brothers, Andrew and Peter, and he says something to them. What does he say to them? Come follow me, right? And what do they do? What do Andrew and Peter do? They drop their nets. That's right. Matthew chapter 4, let me read that to you, actually, verses 18 through 22. It says this, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then we see the decision happen, right? Immediately. They didn't think about it. They didn't come up with a 5-year plan. They didn't know what was going to happen to their fishing nets later on. You know what they said? Let's go. We've heard about this Jesus. We've seen him perform miracles. We've seen him proclaim that he is the Messiah, the way, the truth, and the life. And so we're done. We're just leaving our nets behind. We are deciding to get more of God by literally walking with him. And so the question I have for you when we consider the faith of the disciples to decide to make room for more of God is this. Is there something in your life that you need to let go of? Is there something in your life that you need to let go of completely that might be holding you back from experiencing more of God? Is there something in your life you need to let go of completely, or maybe it's just partially, but is there something that you need less of so that you can have more of God? Maybe, just maybe, it's less sports. Here's the thing. I've been in student ministry in Dallas, Texas for 13 years. And you know what I hear often? The kid who says, man, I want to follow Jesus. I want to wake up and spend time in his word. I want to pray, but I got to go to practice. Or I got to go to this game. Or I got to go to this next thing. And I have nothing against sports. You can ask my wife. You can ask my kids. I love the Cowboys. I watch every single game. I love soccer. I watch it all the time. So I have nothing against sports. But I think in our culture specifically, that might be one of the things where you may consider prayerfully along with your parents or along with your small group leaders. Am I just doing too much? Do I have my life filled with so many other things that are fun and not bad necessarily, but as a result, I have no room in my life for God? That's something for Dallas teenagers genuinely to consider. Maybe it's less sports, like I said. Maybe it's less social media. Maybe if you looked at on your screen time and saw how much you spent on the different apps that you're on, you'd be convicted to go, I waste so much time. And yet I say, man, I wish I felt closer to God. I wish I had time to read my Bible. I wish I had time to pray. I wish I had time to be in community. I wish I had time to sit in silence. Well, your screen time may tell a story that you do have time, but you've decided to use it somewhere else. And so again, the question is there something in your life that you need to let go of completely so that you can make more room for God? Or maybe it's something that you need less of so that you can have more time to make this decision to experience more of God. And so if you want to make more room in your life for God, you desire to make room, you decide to make room. And thirdly, you determine how you'll make room. You determine how you will make room. Proverbs 20, verse 4, we've been reading through the book of Proverbs as a church and join the journey, and this verse stood out to me a couple weeks ago whenever we read it, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. It says this, the sluggard, or the lazy person does not plow in autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing. Now, what in the world is this verse talking about? It's saying that someone who's lazy doesn't determine to do the hard work of tilling the soil, of planting seeds, of doing all of the things that farmers need to do to have a bountiful crop. But when it comes to harvest time, you know what they do? Where's my fruit? Where's my grain? Where's my food that I'm going to have? And obviously when you hear that, you go, bro, it doesn't make sense to expect fruit later on when you're not putting in the work required to have that fruit, right? We know that that makes sense, but somehow we don't translate that to our spiritual walk with God. We expect to feel this nearness. We expect to feel this closeness. We expect to walk in obedience to his word. We expect to experience joy and everything that God's word has to offer to us and shares with us. But we are hesitant to do what it takes to experience that, right? And so the challenge for us is to not to be like the sluggard in Proverbs 20, the one who expects fruit but does nothing to experience fruit, but to rather put in the work. And I just want to remind you, as we're talking about doing things, quote unquote, that the greatest thing has been done for us, that Jesus died and rose again for your sins, and so that you can be reconciled with God, and so that you can have more of God. You have nothing more to do to earn his love. You have nothing left to prove. However, if you want to increasingly experience more of who God is, it is a natural response to cultivate that relationship with God. And so here on the stage, I have a few jars, if you will, that I want to encourage you to consider. I don't know what order they're in or where they start. Let's go with silence. Silence is one that I want to share with you as a way that you might put out a jar to experience more of God. When was the last time you turned off your phone and just sat on your couch or drove in your car and there was no music, there was no podcast, there was no phone call? You were just sitting there and having a conversation with the Lord or just sitting in silence. I know for me that's even hard for me to do. I've had to discipline myself to do that because I love listening to music or I love listening to podcasts. But maybe, just maybe, there needs to be some space in your life where you're just quiet, where you're sitting with the Lord, where you're praying to him without worship music playing, without distractions in the background, so that maybe the Lord is wanting to speak to you clearly through his spirit, but you can't hear him because you're distracted, because it's too loud. Maybe another way for you to make room in your life for more of God is through singing. Truly, we referenced Psalm 95 last night, which talks about making a joyful noise before God. Do you know that one of the ways that you can strengthen your faith and remind yourself of who God is and experience more of God is by singing lyrics and songs and words that are true, that inform your heart and challenge you to allow God to be more real and true in your life? Maybe it's sharing your struggles, community, experiencing what it is like to walk in accountability and confession and friendship and joy with other followers of Jesus. Is this something that you need more of in your life? How can you make more room to share your struggles, to confess the challenges that you're going through, maybe even the sins that you are holding back from telling anyone else? How about serving others? I've heard it said one time that serving ignites your faith. And I think it's a great way to think about it, that as you serve, your own faith is growing. You can ask any of your small group leaders that as they live life with you, as they spend time in God's word and lead you in Bible study discussions or just talking about life, as they're sharing with you, that their own faith is continuing to grow. And so I want to encourage you to consider what it might look like for you to serve, whether that's here at our church, in our kids' ministry, or other areas that you might be gifted and passionate about. That's a way for you to set out a jar to make room in your life for more of God. Or maybe it's supplication. I had to keep the S's going. This is a complicated word, but it just means prayer, right? Another way that you can make room in your life for more of God is by praying. inviting God to transform the way you think, inviting God to give you wisdom in certain situations that you're going through. You know one prayer that God always answers yes? A prayer for wisdom. If you read in James 5 and other James chapter 1 and other passages, it's James 1:5 and other passages in scripture, it says, if anyone doesn't have wisdom, what should they do? Let him ask God. And what will God do? He will give it generously. If you ask God for wisdom, you know what he's not going to say? Sorry, you're not going to get any today. No, he is saying, absolutely, I want to give you wisdom to think through and walk through this situation. When was the last time you asked God for more wisdom? Lastly, it's scripture, spending time in God's word. Maybe you have a rhythm of reading your Bible at nighttime, or maybe you have a rhythm of reading your Bible in the morning time, or maybe you have no rhythm. And this day, today is the day that you determine, I'm going to make more room for more of God in my life by deciding that I'm going to spend 15 minutes reading God's word in the morning, in the night, nighttime, whenever you're more awake and alert to spending time in God's word. And maybe you need some people to be your accountability. A couple of years ago, before I was married to him, my singles community group, me and a couple guys did this every day for several years. I can literally show you all the screenshots on my phone. I need to delete them to get some more space back on my phone. But every day, we would take a picture of the passage that we read or take a picture of the notes that we wrote. It didn't have to be a ton of thoughts, but that we had done something. We would take a picture of it and we would send it in our group text every day. The expectation wasn't to read it and everyone learn from each other, but just, hey, I'm doing this. I'm making room in my life to be disciplined to spend time in God's word. And so determine which one of these jars, if you will, is something that you need more of in your life. Determine and decide what might need to be removed completely from your life or what you might need less of so that you can have more of one of these disciplines that make room for more of who God is. Real quickly as we wrap up, the fourth thing I want to share with you on how to make room for more of God is this. Discipline yourself when it's not easy to make room. Discipline yourself when it isn't easy to make room. How many of you guys work out or exercise on a regular basis? Raise your hand. Okay. Put your hands down. How many of you guys in the last, you know, couple of weeks woke up and it was time to go work out and you were like, I do not want to go? Let me see. Yep, there you go. So I ask you that question because here's something that's true. Just because something is important to you and you know it's valuable doesn't mean you always want to do it, right? And so there is a measure of being disciplined even when you don't feel like it. And so that's what I want to challenge you with and encourage you with this point, to discipline yourself when it's not easy to make room. Like saying to yourself, I'm going to stay committed even when my desire wavers. I'm going to stay committed even when it's hard. Last December, I ran a half marathon. And here's a couple pictures of me running that half marathon with a few friends. And you might look at that picture and go, Jermaine had a blast. He loved it so much. He trained so hard. And he finished 13.1. He must have felt incredible. And you'd be wrong. Let me tell you what happened. I was running. And at mile 5, I'm like, why am I running? But I kept going. And at mile 10, my AirPods died. I don't know if you've run for long distances and you have music or something that helps you run. If your AirPods die, that's tough. And then it's just you and your thoughts. And you know what your thoughts are saying? Just stop running. Just go to your car. Everything's going to be better if you're not running. Then, not only did my AirPods stop working, I start feeling these cramps in my legs with 3 miles to go. And you know what else my mind is telling me? Just stop, bro. You're in pain, you can't listen to music, you know this is terrible, you don't like running anyways. I had so many reasons to quit, but I didn't because I disciplined myself that, hey, I'm going to finish this. And you know, you've probably experienced that at some point before. And that's the message of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, which says that while bodily training is of some value, godliness has value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So working out's great, and you should. And you should steward your body for God's glory. But way more important than working out is keeping yourself spiritually healthy by putting out the jars to make room for more of God in your life, because it has promise for the present life and the one to come. That's the promise of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. And so we, if we want to make room for more of God, we discipline ourselves when it's not easy to make room. And guys, there will be times when it's not easy. There'll be times when you don't feel like reading your Bible, when you don't feel like being silent, when you don't feel like serving others, and so on. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it just because you don't feel like it. And sometimes when you start with the discipline, guess what usually happens? The desire begins to grow and follow behind it. And so you shouldn't always wait for, I need to be 100% so pumped to share my struggles with community or spend time in God's word. And if I'm not 100% desiring it, then I'm not doing it at all. No, we're human beings. And as human beings, we're flawed and broken on this side of eternity. And so God invites us into a discipline of making room for more of him. And the end result is point number five, is that as you make room for more of God, as you fill up the jars, if you will, if you put them out, that you experience more of the joy and the blessing and the benefit of walking with Jesus. Guys, I've been following Jesus since I was a little bit younger than you guys. I placed my faith and trust in Jesus when I was 12 years old. And over the last 24 years, I've found this to be true. That in the seasons of life where I was making room in my life for more of God through these disciplines and others, that I experienced more of God. And I experienced more joy and less scars. And in the seasons where I went my own way to do my own thing, that's when I experienced the things that I was wanting to avoid in the first place. And so as you set out those jars, as you make room for more of God, man, you'll just get to sit back and enjoy the benefits and the blessings of what it's like when God is at the center of your life. Because this is what we'll be doing in heaven for all of eternity. We'll be celebrating who God is. We'll be enjoying him for all of eternity. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So that's what Christians are going to do for all of eternity. Why not start today by putting out the jars, by making room in your lives for more of God? Let me pray that you would. God, we love you, and we're so grateful for the reminder and the challenge from your word to make room for more of you. And we thank you that you stand ready to fill our lives with your joy, with your peace, with your wisdom, with your truth, with your fellowship and community. And I pray for everyone in this room that that would be even more true after hearing from your word today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.